Even so send I you. 1895. There is a great work to be done by every son and daughter of God. Our Savior prayed not only for his apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John 17, verse 20. We are expected to bear as definite a testimony of the truth as it is in Jesus, as the apostles did. If we do this, trusting in the efficiency of the Holy Spirit, the darkness will be dispelled from many minds, and many voices will be heard testifying of the mercy, goodness, and love of a crucified and risen Savior. Christ's instruction to his followers is, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." John 20, verse 21. And he also says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." John 14, verse 15, 16, 28. If we believe the words of Christ, he has promised, "Greater works than these that he did shall ye do, because I go to my Father." Verse 12. Oh, what great privileges are granted to all who are not only professors, but doers of the words of Christ. The knowledge of Christ as the sin-bearer, the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, enables us to live a life of holiness. This is the only safeguard to preserve the happiness of the human family. Satan realizes that without this knowledge, we would be thrown into confusion, divested of our strength, our faith weakened, and thus we should be deceived by every artifice he might choose to practice upon us. His plans have been wisely made to carry out his purpose to destroy man. He endeavors to throw his hellish shadow, like the pall of death, between God and man, that he may hide Jesus from our view, that we may forget his ministry of love and mercy, and that he may prevent further disclosures of God's great love and power to usward. He would intercept every ray of light from heaven. Christ alone was able to represent the deity. He who had been in the presence of the Father from the beginning, he who was the express image of the invisible God, was alone sufficient to accomplish this work. No verbal description could reveal God to the world. Through a life of purity, a life of perfect trust and submission to the will of God, a life of humiliation such as even the highest seraphim in heaven would have shrunk from, God himself must reveal to humanity. In order to do this, our Savior clothed his divinity with humanity. He employed the human faculties, for only by adopting these could he be comprehended by humanity. Only humanity could reach humanity. He lived out the character of God through the human body which God had prepared for him. He blessed the world by living out in human flesh the life of God, thus showing that he had the power to unite humanity to divinity. Christ said, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Matthew 11, verse 27. Oh, how dimly the exalted work of the Son of God is comprehended! He held the salvation of the world in his hands. The commission given to the apostles is also given to his followers in this age. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24, verse 47. Our Savior has all power in heaven and in earth, and this power is promised unto us. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Acts 1, verse 8. Even though a church may be composed of poor and uneducated and unknown persons, yet if they are believing, praying members, their influence will be felt for time and for eternity. If they go forth in simple faith, relying upon the promises of the Word of God, they may accomplish great good. If they let their light shine, Christ is glorified in them, and the interests of His kingdom are advanced. If they have a sense of their individual accountability to God, they will seek for opportunities to work and will shine as lights in the world. They will be examples of sincerity and of zealous fervor in working out God's plan for the salvation of souls.
The poor, the unlearned, if they choose, may become students in the school of Christ, and He will teach them true wisdom. The life of meek, childlike trust, of true piety, true religion, will be effective in its influence upon others. Persons who are highly educated are likely to depend more upon their book knowledge than upon God. Often they do not seek a knowledge of God's ways by wrestling earnestly with Him in secret prayer, laying hold upon the promises of God by faith. Those who have received the heavenly unction will go forth with a Christ-like spirit, seeking an opportunity to engage others in conversation, and to reveal to them the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent, whom to know aright is life eternal. They will become living epistles, revealing the light of the world to man. Christ has given to every man his work. Mark 13, verse 34. He expects every man to do his work with fidelity. High and low, rich and poor, all have a work to do for the Master. Everyone is called to action. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord, if you do not do His appointed work in firm reliance upon Christ as your sufficiency, if you do not follow His example, unfaithful, slothful servant will be registered against your name. See Matthew 25, verse 26. Unless the light which has been given you is communicated to others, unless you let your light shine, it will go out in darkness, and your soul will be left in awful peril. God speaks to everyone that knows the truth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. Communicate the knowledge of the truth to others. This is God's plan to enlighten the world. If you do not stand in your allotted place, if you do not let your light shine, you will become enshrouded in darkness. God calls upon all the sons and daughters of the heavenly family to be fully equipped so that at any period they can step into the ranks ready for action. The heart made tender and sympathetic by the love of Jesus will find the precious pearls designed for casket of the Lord Jesus. The Lord's vineyard is more extensive than the present working force are able properly to cultivate. Therefore, it is necessary that everyone should labor to the full extent of his ability. Whosoever shall refuse to do this dishonors the Lord of the vineyard, and if he continues inactive, the Lord will disown him. As the human agent endeavors to labor, God works in him and by him. When the Lord sees that little real effort for the conversion of souls is put forth in regions beyond, when He sees that golden opportunities are lost, and that the spiritual physician is devoting his energy and skill to those who are whole, neglecting the maladies of those who are ready to die, He is not pleased. He cannot pronounce the well done, Matthew 25, verse 21,
upon such work, for it is not hastening, but hindering the progress of his cause when rapid advancement is most necessary. Time and energy and means are devoted to those who know the truth, instead of being used to enlighten the ignorant. Our churches are being tended like sick lambs by those who should be seeking for the lost sheep. If our people would minister to other souls who need their help, they would themselves be ministered unto by the chief shepherd, and thousands would be rejoicing in the fold who are now wandering in the desert. Instead of hovering over our people as if they were sick lambs, let every soul go to work to seek and to save the lost sheep. Let every soul labor, not in visiting among our churches, but in visiting the dark places of the earth where there are no churches. In places where the standard of truth has never been lifted, more souls will now be converted as a result of the same amount of work than ever before. The Lord Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. If you will draw upon it, combining the strength of heaven with your own, precious souls will be converted. The presence of the Holy Spirit is vouchsafed to all. Christ, our mediator, renews our strength by the power of his presence. Every agency is to be set in operation, not to work for the churches, but to work for those who are in the darkness of error. When souls are converted, set them to work at once, and as they labor according to their ability, they will grow stronger. It is by meeting opposing influences that we become confirmed in the faith. As the light shines into their hearts, let them diffuse its rays.
Teach the newly converted that they are to enter into fellowship with Christ, to be his witnesses, and to make him known unto the world. None should be forward to enter into controversy, but they should tell the simple story of the love of Jesus. All should constantly search the Scriptures for the reason of their faith, so that, if asked, they may give a reason of the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. The best help you can give the church is not preaching or sermonizing, but planning work for them. If set to work, the despondent would soon forget their despondency. The weak would become strong, the ignorant intelligent, and all would be prepared to present the truth as it is in Jesus. They would find an unfailing helper in him who has promised to save all who come unto him. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. In order that you may do this, pray. Pray in faith, for that knowledge and wisdom and grace which the Lord Jesus alone can give you. And when you receive, communicate to others. Thus souls will be saved, and there will be rejoicing in heaven. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17, verse 20-21. A living church is one that is engaged in earnest work for the Master. Christ's prayer to his Father was that through the sanctification of the truth, his disciples might be one in him. They are to deny self. They are to consecrate every ability to his service through patience, goodness, mercy, sympathy, and love representing our Savior to the world. Through the influence of the Holy Spirit, all are to labor for the unity of love, that they may bring others to the knowledge of the truth. The Christian devotion of those who stand in the wondrous light that shines from Calvary will recommend the followers of Christ and his service to the world. May the Lord give the missionary spirit to his church. Then the workers will go into the harvest field, pleading with our Heavenly Father
that His Holy Spirit may go with them, that they may hold forth the words of life to those who are hastening to death. In all our cities there are heathen who have not had the truth presented to them, who have not heard the warning message of the Lord's soon coming, who have not heard that the end of all things is at hand. Unless messengers shall go to them in the Spirit of Christ, how shall these people hear the gospel invitation? How shall they know that their sins may be forgiven through the mercy of a crucified and risen Savior? This aggressive warfare must be entered upon with a devoted, self-sacrificing spirit that many know nothing about. As opportunities offer, as doors open, and the word of life is brought to the people, it will start into operation the opposers of the truth. The door that is open to the missionary will also be open to the opposer of truth. But if the truth is presented as it is in Jesus, the hearers are responsible for its rejection. Those who will not accept the last solemn message of warning sent to our world will pervert the Scriptures. They will attack the character and make false statements in regard to the faith and doctrines of the advocates of Bible truth. Every possible means will be employed to divert the attention. Shows, games, horse races, and various other kinds of amusement will be set in operation. An intense power from beneath will stir them up to oppose the truth. What shall be done to meet our responsibilities? How shall we make proper use of the opportunities presented? There must be prayer, earnest, humble prayer. There must be determined wrestling with God for the endowment of His Holy Spirit. "Put me in remembrance," saith the Lord. "Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." Isaiah 43, verse 26. Take your Bibles and present the promises of God before the throne of grace. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth." If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Luke 11, verse 9-13. Believe that the Lord does just as He said He would. Go to work in faith. Hold fast to every point of vantage ground gained. However strong the opposition may be, there must be no weakening. Hold fast by faith. Work and pray, watch and wait, hope and trust. Leave everything to God. He can thresh mountains with a worm.
The church that would prove successful in the Master's service must be an aggressive one. Its members must not allow their interest in the work to flag. Heavenly intelligences are ready to cooperate with the human agent to press forward the work. At whatever cost, press the battle to the gates of the enemy. Yea, storm the very citadel. Do not allow yourselves to fail nor be discouraged. Christ's authority is supreme. His power is invincible. Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord works with the human agent. He hath anointed us to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord,
that he might be glorified. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Sun of Righteousness has arisen. Christ is waiting to clothe his people with the garments of salvation. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Isaiah 42, verse 4. 62, 3. The Lord does not wish to have one true soldier of the cross remain in ignorance or darkness. He calls us up, high up above the earth, that he may show us the vast confederacy of evil that is arrayed against us. He would remind us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 12. But he assures all who are engaged in this warfare that they are fighting under the captain of the Lord's hosts, and that the angels of heaven are assisting them in their struggle for the crown that fadeth not away. Joshua 5, verse 14, 15. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Let us rally under the banner of Prince Emmanuel, and in the name and strength of Jesus, press the battle home. There are souls perishing. They must know the terms of salvation. They must be taught that the conditions of acceptance are the same now as they were in Adam's day. Obedience to all God's commandments. Many appear to be entombed in the darkness of ignorance, entrenched behind an invincible barrier, full of error taught them by priest and ruler. But bear in mind that heavenly intelligences are working with the human agents. The Holy Spirit can pierce the stronghold of unbelief. Jesus is leading his army to the field of battle. Listen to his proclamation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. Our general leads to victory, for he is a mighty conqueror.